Blog Talk Radio.
And let me say this, because sometimes people don't know. God have to do it. Because if God don't do it, it won't be done. I dedicate this song to Robert Beasley.
Oh, Lord, if you don't do it, it just won't be done. So, Lord, do for me. Sometimes I get this when I say like this, I say, Lord, fix it for me. Anybody know that only God can do it? Oh, fix it for me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Because, Lord, I have a problem that only you can solve. So, Lord, do it for me. Can y'all play that for me?
Thank you.
again, that goes out to my brother, Robert Keith, Brother Cortez. It's something God got to do for you. Nobody else can do it. You can reach out to a whole lot of people, a whole lot of institutions, but it's something only God can do for you. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. So have you had each and every one of you all. I'm going to ask Pastor Bill if she'll give us a word of prayer, and we'll get into the lesson.
Praise God. Good afternoon, everyone. Amen. Thank you for that song, Pastor. Amen. The scripture I'd like to share is coming from Ephesians. Ephesians 1, verses 7 and 8. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Amen. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for this day, Father God. We're thanking you for our pastor as he teaches the word. We're thankful for the listeners that called in and those that are listening by internet and those who will participate. Father God, we give you praise today. And Father God, we know you're a way maker out of no way. And we're praying for Brother Robert Keith, because we know you are the answer, and that we just put our trust in you. We're praying for the bereaved families, Father God, and we know you're able to comfort their hearts. And those who are sick and shut in, we know you are a healer, Father God, because we have those that have testified and given their testimony of your healing power. So, Father God, help us to continue to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to lean and depend on you when we're going through, because you are the answer. And, Father God, we're so thankful to know that we are the apple of your eye. Thank you, Father God. Continue, Lord, to bless us as we open up our hearts and our mind to receive the word today. Lord, we ask that you would just have your way. We bind up anything and everything that's not like you right now in the name of Jesus, that we are able to receive the word as our pastor teaches the lesson. We thank you, Father God, for all things. In Christ Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. And I appreciate that prayer. And appreciate y'all being in agreement with me. Hallelujah. We're going to into today's lesson. We've been talking about blind to God's true grace. Blind to God's true grace. And we left off yesterday. We talked about the meaning of God's true grace. And we talked about how Jesus' gracious words was spoken out, and as we give the definition for that grace, then we end up talking about Peter in 1 Peter 2:2-3. So in 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, the trying to get my computer set up to the right. Thank y'all. It reads like this. Wherefore, lay aside all malice, all guilt, and hypocrisy, and evil, and all evil speaking. Then he says this. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Third verse says, if so be ye have tasted, the Lord is gracious.
Amen. Reading that from the Message Bible. And three. Say 1 Peter verses 2 and 3. God the Father has his eye on each of you and has determined by the work of the Spirit to keep you obedient through the sacrifice of Jesus. May everything good from God be yours. What a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have him, this Father of our Master Jesus. Amen.
You want to read that again for us, Pastor, please?
Okay, Pastor. Was that 1 and 2, or was it?
Yes, 1 Peter 2 and 3.
Oh, I was in 1 Peter. Okay. 1 Peter 2 and... Okay. You have a taste of God. Now, like infants at the breast, drink deep of God's pure kindness. Then you'll grow up mature and whole in God. Amen.
So, in order to grow up in the Lord, first of all, he says that you have to have this desire. And it can't be no any kind of desire. It has to be a sincere desire. You got to be sincere. You got to be genuine with it. You got to be honest with it. It has to be heartfelt. And it has to be true. You know, you can't fake it till you make it when it comes to the Word of God. Now, that might work somewhere else, and it may work with some other folks and some other stuff. But when you're facing God and you're dealing with God, it has to be the genuine stuff. I shared with Evangelist William. I said, if a baby had a choice between taking a bottle, because just so you know, we're talking about the breast, desiring sincere milk from the breast. If you had a choice to take the bottle or the breast, she said the breast. And that's absolutely right, brothers and sisters. A baby all day, every day will accept the mother's breast opposed to a bottle. Now, you may not think that means not, but that means a whole lot, brothers and sisters. Because you want the sincere milk of the Word of God. You want the truth of the Word. You know, time out for all this wishy-washy, doctoring up words. No, you want the true Word of God. You don't even want anything transplanted. You want honesty. Why? So you can grow. See, when you get the Word of God, the true Word of God, you can grow. You don't have, and the truth, let me be the first to tell you, brother, sister, the truth, if you don't want it, you'll get real angry. You know, there's a lot of things. But let me tell you what grace does. When you got the grace of God on your life, you want to help people. You want to restore people. I like what Galatians 6:1 says. Brother, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Consider thy own self, lest thou also be tempted. So you can't get above that. So you got to be mindful of it. Bear one another's burden. Like that's the fulfillment of the law of Christ. But go ahead, Pastor. You can read that.
Okay, that's Galatians 6:1. Reading from the Message Bible. Okay, thank you, Pastor. Live creatively, friend. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your crucial comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day's out. Amen.
Yeah. See, we can't always just look down on people while you're over there. You know, we're talking about having the sincere milk of the word. Let me tell you, when the grace of God is on your life, look at, while we're in Galatians 6, let's go to 8 and 9. It says, for ye that sow to his flesh, you don't reap from the flesh. And they that sow to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. The ninth verse says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Praise God. Enter in the Message Bible. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he has to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Amen.
Yeah. So if you're going to plant, we're talking about the word of God. See, these are people who have the grace of God on their life. Because when you got the grace of God on your life, then you got to show grace. And I'll show you that in a moment. If you plant these seeds, you're going to plant, I don't care what the soil looks like. If you're planting to the flesh, you're going to reap from the flesh. If you plant to the Spirit, you're going to reap from the Spirit. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. Because that other verse over there, to be not deceived, now for God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So you can't plant tomatoes and look for okra. Come on now.
Amen.
You can't say, well, you know what, I'm going to collard greens today. And you go down there and plant some turnip seed because they look like collards. No, you're going to reap what you sow. So if you want good to come, sow good.
Yeah.
And don't worry, but don't be deceived now, because God is not mocked. He sees what you're doing. He sees it. You may not think no one else sees, but God sees it. And he's going to let you, when you done plant okra, you're going to reap okra. You can't change your mind and say, well, Lord, I know I put okra down there, but I want tomatoes. It don't work like that, because the Bible says whatever you sow, it's what you're going to reap.
Yeah.
And I've told people this several times. You know, don't cause me to have headaches. Because on your way home, you need to stop by the drugstore. You know, if you call dig a ditch, you might as well dig two. Because the next one is for you. You're going to reap what you sow. You can't get around that.
Amen.
So let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap. Keep on doing good. And let me tell you something else. When you got the grace of God on your life, I got to say this here, because this is like, when you got the grace of God on your life, let me tell you, brother and sister, Jesus said over there in John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is John 14:23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Man, that's powerful. That tells you if you love the Lord or not. Because if you don't have no problem with the word of God, if you love the Lord. Now, if you don't love the Lord, you're going to have some problem with this. You're going to have problem with this scripture here. Because he says, if you love me, here's what you're going to do. He will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That's why people don't know God. That's why they really don't know the Lord. That's why they got an idea about God. They got a zeal about it. Oh, yeah, they love the idea, but they don't know him. And the only way you're going to get to know him, you got to have a love for the word. You got to have that desire for the sincere milk of the word, for the truth of the word. Not just, well, I got a word today. Hey, I was on one of them media, and somebody told me they got a love. No, if you got a love for the word of God, speak that word. If you don't, because whatever comes out of you is what's in you. So you can't fool that. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Yeah, so whatever's in you, it's coming out. If you don't love the word, that's coming out. If you love the word, it's coming out. If you're honest about the word of God, it's coming out. Can't hide it. You might try, but you can't get away. And then Jesus promises. You're going to read that passage. Jesus promises. This is his promise. It ain't mine.
Amen. Reading that from the from the Message Bible. That's John 14:23. And it says, because a loveless world, said Jesus, is a sightless world. If anyone loves me, he will carefully keep my word, and my Father will love him. Will move right into the neighborhood. Not loving me means not keeping my word. The message you are hearing isn't mine. It's the message of the Father who sent me. Amen. Praise God. Are you there, Pat?
Are you hearing me now?
I can hear
you
now.
Are you hearing me? Okay.
Yes.
So Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, see, this is how you know if you love the Lord or not. If you love me, because there's a possibility you may not love me. You might think you love me. You may feel like you love me. You know, you may have been told, boy, you really love the Lord. You know, you ought to go on out there and minister. You ought to go on out there and sing. You ought to go on out there and do this, and the third. But let me tell you, Jesus, if a man love me, this is what's going to happen. If you hadn't had it, it may be because you don't love him. It may be because you don't know how to love him. You know, sometimes people have to be taught how to love. But if you're going to be loving the Lord, he says, if a man love me, he will. Ain't no might, ain't no if, well, you know, I'll get around. No, 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 no. If you love me, you will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come. So look for a visit from the Holy Ghost. Look for a visit from the Father. Look for a visit from Jesus. Be expecting. Don't think he's going off the scene. I know Satan wants people to think that. But I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, this scripture right here, John 14:23, let me tell you what. If you keep this word, God has to keep his promise. He's not a man that he can lie. He have no other choice but to make himself known unto you. And it ain't about no feelings. I'm talking about truth. Because you being kept the sincere milk of the word. You being got the right stuff up in you.
Thank you, Lord.
You got to have that desire, though. And you got to have that wanna. That may not even be a word. But you got to have that, I want it. I desire it. Because a lot of people don't know. Whatsoever thing a man desire from his heart, like I'll give it to you. Most people don't want to desire the things of God. But the sincere, now, milk is the genuine word of God. That's what you want. That's when you began to see the God kind of glory. That's when you began to see what's really going on. You began to see the God kind of grace began to flow in your life. And don't let this Satan fool you, because he's going to always try to show you that, oh, well, he's going to always line you up against people. And say, oh, that person ain't no better than I am. They don't have more craving for the word than I do. Satan will lie to you like that. But if you have that strong desire, that urgency, that wishing, that yearning, that hunger, that appetite.
Amen.
You'll be surprised what'll happen. But I promise you, if your desire, your passion, I was just trying to think, if you have that appetite, they ain't passing the appetite. Boy, if you get that appetite for the word of God and start tasting it for the word of God, you want more word, more word, more word. Every time the word of God, then you're going to see Jesus. He's going to come to you. And the Father's going to come to you.
Amen.
It just don't come to the preacher. He's going to come to you, too.
Amen.
Excuse me. Hallelujah. Anyway, so we dealt with that. But let me give you the definition. You know, the real definition. I don't know if I got so much going on here. Evangelist Williams, she's going to ask her to read out the King James Version. Listen, brothers and sisters, in the book of Titus, because we gave a lot of definition, but here's what you might call a biblical definition, and you got to really get into it to understand it. But in Titus, in the book of Titus, the third chapter and 4 and 5 verses, the third chapter, 4 and 5 verse. Now, and this is so important, because understanding this definition, man, means a lot when you understand grace, the God kind of grace. Not mankind now. Please draw a line there. Because man's going to show grace in a different way than God, because man's going to always compare his stuff with other men. But how about let's compare it with what the words say? That's when it becomes different. In the book of Titus, the third chapter, 4th and 5 verse, will you read that for us, Evangelist William?
Yes, Pastor. Titus, third verse, verse 4 and 5. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. From the Message Bible. But when God, our kind and loving Savior, God, stepped in, he saved us from all that. It was all his doing. We had nothing to do with it. He gave us a good bath, and we came out of it new people, washed inside and out by the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So that's not the only definition, but that's a good definition. Because it
Amen.
Shows the grace of God. Had nothing to do with us. And God did this because he chose to do this. He showed his kindness, his love, the love of God. How he said, see, grace is that unmerited favor. It's that thing that you can't do for yourself. But the God kind is God wanted to do it for us. Not only did he do an observation that we couldn't do it for ourselves, he let us see over all these years, excuse me, that we needed his grace. We needed that favor. We couldn't do it. Can't save yourself. You can't make yourself be right. Now, there's some things we can do, so let's not get that twisted. There's some things we can do, because we were talking over there in the book of, Galatians. There's some things he said we can do, you know, if we don't faint. We need to take every opportunity to do good to all men, especially unto them that are of the household of God, of the household of faith, those that say they love the Lord, and you see a brother or sister, you should share the truth with them. Don't sugarcoat it. See, the Word of God don't have any place for feelings, and y'all may not like that, but God, the Word of God doesn't have any place for feeling. Jesus done been touched with all of our crying, all our feelings, but the Word of God doesn't have any way to water it down. We should want the sincere milk of the Word of God. We should want the truth.
Amen.
That's why Paul said, now I wrote you this big letter, this large letter, so your desire to do the right thing, your desire to have, and even though you may be persecuted for it and so forth and so on, he says, I wrote this for you so that you will know, take every opportunity to do good to all men. And then we turn right around, and in the book of Titus, he's saying there are other, like I said, there's other scriptures which it's very meaningful, but we just need to accept this as a definition, because God is kind. He let Jesus die for us. I mean, when you think about that grace, he didn't have to. Jesus didn't do anything to die. The wages of sin is death. He hadn't sinned. But God showed grace. Another expression of God's grace is in Ephesians 2. Verses 4 and 5. We're going to try to finish up this little part of it, trying to get the definition for the God kind of grace. It can be difficult because there's just so many different areas you can hit. God is grace. That's what God is. God is love. God is grace. God is kind. God is all those things. And he's rich with it. He's forgiven. See, when you understand grace from the eyes of God, God is forgiven. God saved. I tell you, boy, grace do some things that the God kind of grace. Now, it does things that I didn't even realize. God kind of grace makes you love those that you never loved before. Encourage those that's your enemy, but yet you encourage them to do good. You save even to the uttermost. Do you know what that means? There's nowhere grace can't go. There's nothing, no one that been so bad or did so much that grace can't find them and say, you know what, I forgive you. Come on, let's have eternal life. Because that's what it's about. So if you got some people that's on your list that you can't show the grace of God, you need to go back in prayer and say, Lord, show me how I can show the grace of God in this situation or to this person. Because I know a lot of people have been hurt by a lot of things, everything from being raped to being molested to being robbed to being cheated to be done wrong. But let me tell you what, the God of grace will go through all of that and make you find love in your heart for them. That's the God kind of grace. Over there in Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5, let's look at that.
Yes, Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Praise God. Instead, probably starting at verse 2, huh? Instead, in this and mercy, and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin deadline and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own with no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. Amen, amen. Thank you.
Now, you see where we got to operate now? We got to operate on that kind of stage, in that kind of light. Because if you love God's word, then you love what he does. He tells us to imitate him. Remember Ephesians 5:1? Be imitators of Christ. We're to imitate him. We're to mimic him. Jesus said now, love like this. This kind of love. Had a God kind of love. And if you do, you're going to express God's kind of mercy. But what is God's kind of mercy? Or God's kind of grace? It is mercifulness. That's what it is. See, you can't have grace without having some mercy. Ooh, preacher. I said you can't have grace without having some mercy. Got to feel some type of way. You got to have that love. Because that's what mercy is. You know, mercy is, it's almost like pity. It's almost, you understand that situation. Maybe you're not in it, but you understand it. So you're going to be merciful. You may not never been to jail, but if somebody in jail and you can get them out on bond, it's because you took the moment to say, you know what, I get it. I ain't never been there, but hey, I can empathize with you. I can show kindness. I have compassion because I you know, some kind of way I can kind of get where you at. But see, if you're not meek, if you're not gentle, you can't operate in mercy. Some people don't have no mercy, so that tells me they don't have no grace. Because you got to have grace so you can display mercy.
Yeah.
I'll make it see you all. But God expects this out of us. This is the kind of benevolence God expects out of us. This is the kind of meekness God. This is the kind of care. This is the kind of kindness. See, anybody can be kind to their friends and buddies. How about you, your enemy? And not want anything in return. You know, goodwill is a word that people say. But let me tell you what, if you're merciful, if you have mercy, you got goodwill toward that person. You know, you soften up the way you see things. You get a better view of, you know what, that person need what I have. So you have a tendency to show mercy. See, you built for this. The devil won't tell you that. But if you don't mind me taking a minute and tell you, you built for this. God built you for this. You made it. He created you in his image now. Jesus died so you can have this. You built for it.
Thank you, Lord.
You may not be told that in your lifetime because people tell you a whole lot of stuff. But let me tell you what, God expects for us to express his grace. If that's what's in you, then that's what you have to express.
Yeah.
See, grace will precede mercy when you think about it. Because it's an expression of God's love. Paul used that order in most of his epistles. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord, from our faith. He would always use that. Like over there in 1 Timothy 1 and 2. We'll look at that. 1 Timothy 1 and 2. See, he had to look. That's why he was able to express, because that's what was in him. If it wasn't in him, he couldn't express it. You can't express love. Ain't none in you. Uh-oh. See, because whatever in you going to come out of you. Bitterness is in you. That's what's coming out. Especially in the right situation. But in 1 Timothy 1 and 2, read that for us, please.
Yes, Pastor. 1 Timothy 1 and 2, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen, amen.
Amen. In the Message Bible, I, Paul, am an apostle on special assignment for Christ, our living hope. Under God our Savior's command, I'm writing this to you, Timothy, my son in the faith. All the best from our God and Christ be yours. Amen.
Amen.
And in 2 Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1 and 2, I just want to show you that Paul expressed God's grace, his mercy, and his peace to everybody. So that can be a lesson for us. That can be a lesson that, hey, this is the kind of attitude we got to have. We got to have that. Well, you want to express God's love and his peace and mercy.
Yes, Pastor. 2 Timothy 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen, amen.
Amen. I, Paul, am on special assignment for Christ, carrying out God's plan laid out in the Message of Life by Jesus. I write this to you, Timothy, the son I love so much. All the best from our God and Christ be yours. Amen.
Amen.
I wish I had time. Why Paul loved Timothy so much? It's because he had a love for the word of God. And he speaks of this. He talks about You know, I know it was first in your mama and your grandmama, Lois and Eunice, and you too have a desire for the Word of God. See, when you love somebody because of the Word of God, it's a whole nother love. It's a whole nother kind. So Paul expressed that. He expressed the God that was in him by letting Timothy and others know in these epistles that God's grace, His mercy, His peace, and then he said it's from God. That's what I like. He said it's from God. He knew it wasn't here. He knew he hadn't created that thing. He knew it was from God. So a lot of times when I'm showing peace and mercy and grace, it ain't mine, it's God. And God uses us like that. He'll speak his grace and stuff through us to other people.
Yes, amen.
Let me tell you one other thing, too. See, grace comes from God. How I know that? How I know that? It ain't yours. It came from God. Remember what 1 Peter 5:10 says? But the God of our grace, the God of all grace, the God have the grace to share with everybody. I'll let you read it. I'll let you read it. And excuse me. Over in 1 Peter 5:10, read that. Because this shows the characteristic, the nature of God that we're to share.
Yes, Pastor. 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It won't be long before this generous God, who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. Amen.
Amen.
Now, what's happening here? God, he showed us his grace first. He showed us his mercy first. He showed us his kindness. Then he turned around and he called us. You got to call. Answer that. You got to call. Somebody on the other end calling you. He calling you through Christ Jesus, not Jesus Christ. He calling you through the Spirit. I think that's what he said. Through Christ Jesus. Through his eternal glory. Yeah. So that will restore us. That's what he's called. He wants to establish you. He wants to establish us. He wants to establish me. He wants to establish us in his grace. But the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. So he's saying that grace is his part of his eternal glory.
Amen.
Well, that's a beautiful thing, man, operating in the grace and the glory of God. See, glory means you got the victory. Grace means you show what you could do.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
See, anybody can talk about it, but can you be about it? Don't take a whole lot to talk about it. We need to see you demonstrate it. We need to see you be doers of the word and not hearers only.
Mm-hmm.
People that are hearers only, they deceive themselves all the time. But it's the God kind of grace.
Yeah.
Amen.
When you get on the God kind of grace, you'll know Christ is the end of the law. You know, you'll know that don't nothing bound you. Don't nothing dictate to you but faith and grace in the glory of God. You know it's okay to do it. I don't care what the law say, because you operate under the law of Christ. And yeah, you can love your enemy. Yeah, you can love Trump. Yeah, you can love some of these boogers that have did you wrong. You can love them. But it's going to take the grace of God. And well, yeah, Pastor, you sure right. Well, if I'm right, then ask for the grace so you can start using it. Don't agree with me. Yeah. Ask for it. So you can get a firm grip, man. You want to get a grip on this thing.
Yeah, amen.
So you can be part of the eternal glory. See, anybody can get this little glory now. Let me tell you, brother, it's nothing about this little glory here. You get a few dollars and a few folks, you can get some glory. People, they tagging each other every day, all day, for a little glory. See how many likes I can get. Boy, look at that. Woo! Boy, I just said something, the whole internet blew up. Anybody can get a little glory, but that's not eternal glory. You want eternal glory.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. You want eternal glory. You want to know that you're with the Father and the Father with you. You've been here all this time, all these many years, and you're going to die and not know that you can have eternal life and what you have to do to get it and to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
And God expects for us to operate in this stuff now, not when we think we get over there. That's not the dressing room. Here's the dressing room. If it don't fit on this side, it ain't going to fit on that side.
All right.
You can go preach that. If it don't fit on this side, it ain't going to fit on that side. Trust me. This is the dressing room.
Yeah.
Y'all, one more scenario, and I'm done. Can you imagine you getting ready to get married, and you go, oh, you know what? I'm going to try my dress. It'll fit. And then you get to the wedding. And they made it three sizes too small.
And mercy.
Or let's go six sizes too big.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's on this side you try on this grace. It's on this side that you show the characteristics or the nature of God. I may have to talk about that one day, the two natures. You know, because we got two different natures, brothers and sisters. We're the only ones that have two natures. But then you have a choice to use whichever one you want to use, see? You can operate in the nature of God, but you can operate in the nature of Satan. You can be all this big bad wolf, or you can have a humble and meek spirit. Anybody trying to get over on you? Nobody but Satan. He the only one. He the only one come steal, kill, and destroy. He don't want you to have your eternal life because he don't have it. But anyway, we're going to leave it right there for today. Anyone have any anything they'd like to share? Okay. Okay.
Amen. Reading it from the New Living Translation, Pastor. 1 Peter 5, verse 10. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation.
Amen.
And then the footnotes to this says, this scripture said, this verse contrasts the eternal glory to which believers are called with the temporary nature of their suffering. The New Testament often uses the word translated here as perfect to convey the idea of mending or repairing something that has been broken. Amen.
Amen.
And reference scriptures is Galatians 6:1, 1 Thessalonians 3:10. Amen.
For those that may have missed what she's saying, that's over there in 1 Peter 5:10 in the King James Version. Read that again, Evangelist William.
Yes, Pastor. 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settles you. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
I'm glad you read that again. Thank you. It makes you perfect. Now, how many churches teach you can't be perfect? I mean, how many people sputing that out their mouth on a daily basis, you can't be perfect? See, these are people who's not operating in the grace of God, because if they know they're in the grace of God, the Bible says, but. Now, pay attention now. This is important. When you see that word, but, pay attention, man. But.
Yeah.
The God
yeah.
of all grace. See, grace there to be perfect. Grace there to establish you. Grace there to forgive you. All grace. He got it all. You get grace. You get grace. You get grace. I don't care about you being in prison. You get grace. I don't care about you being a prostitute. You get grace. I don't care about you being a whoremonger. You get grace. I don't care about you being a crackhead. You get grace. See, he got all grace.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't make me go there. Do not make me go there. Because it will make you perfect. That's what grace does.
Yeah.
It'll make you perfect and establish you. And I don't think you're all of this and all of that. Listen, brothers and sisters, you need grace.
Amen.
If for nothing else but to strengthen you, settle you down, keep you, you know, keep you grounded.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, without grace, boy, you'll get carried away.
Amen.
Now you're going to understand what Paul was talking about when he said, when God told him, said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. It'll keep you settled. You ain't got to worry about getting too high. You ain't got to worry about getting too low.
Amen.
My grace will keep you in check. That's if you stay in the Word of God. But see, you got the Word of God. You done lost that grace.
Amen.
There ain't nothing to remind you. It will puff you up. It will make you think you this, that, and the third. But when you're operating in God's grace, He it's adequate. It's sufficient. He will do everything He can. You're all right. Well, thank you, Pastor, for bringing that back out. Appreciate it. Anybody else? Press 1. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Well, tomorrow, get excited because I'm going to let them be surprised. But tomorrow is Thankful Thursday. So be thankful. Be thankful for what God's doing in your life. Be thankful for where you've been and where you are and where you're going. Be thankful. And most of all, tomorrow's going to be Thankful Thursday.